anyways. If it was my dad, he would preach for about an hour and 10 minutes, amen, but I'm not my father, and so I will be conscientious of the time. But I do want to say what God's laid on my heart tonight, and I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who better to talk about tonight, amen? Doesn't do any good to talk about ourselves, but when you get to talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, things can happen. In Hebrews chapter number 12, starting verse number 1, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we're only going to read three verses, the very first three verses. And I hope that what we see will challenge us tonight. We're going to look at the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in one specific area. And I hope that it'll be a challenge to us. But starting verse number 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Dear God, we come before you tonight. We are so thankful that you've given us this opportunity once again to assemble ourselves together in your house, to worship, to honor and glorify your precious holy name. I pray, God, tonight you would help me to say what would only be beneficial to these hearers tonight. But I pray, God, we would not be hearers of your word only, but that we would be doers, that we allow the Holy Spirit of God to take what we look at tonight from your word, to take it and plant it in our hearts and our lives and let it take root, and that it would be evident in our walk with you. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be challenged by your testimony tonight. Is my prayer, and we'll give you the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' lovely name, we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in Hebrews chapter number 12, in the beginning portion, we see some instructions that are given about our Christian race. At the moment that you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, whether you realize it or not, at the moment you stepped into what the Bible here in Hebrews chapter number 12 says, your Christian race. We refer to it many times as our Christian walk or our Christian journey. But every one of us has a race to run. Every one of our races are different. God has something different for my family than He has for your family. For this church, than my home church in Raleigh, Illinois. God has something for each and every one of us. And here in Hebrews chapter number 12, He shows and gives us some instruction about that Christian race, how that you and I can effectively run that race that He has set before us. Now, in verse number 2, we see that as we run this race, the most important thing that you and I can do is keep our eyes focused on Christ. Amen. Keep our eyes focused on Him, looking to Him through for everything that we need through this life. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and that's who we need to keep focused before us, even in our family, in our personal life, in this church. Christ has got to be the center. He has got to be the focus. If you want to accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you and I must get out of the way and let Him have His will and way in our hearts and our lives. You want to run your Christian race effectively? Then just simply do one thing. Follow Christ. Amen. On a day-to-day basis. Get yourself out of the way. Deny yourself. Die to self. Allow Him, as we decrease. John chapter number 3 and verse number 30 tells us that as we decrease, as we get ourselves aside, then Christ can increase. Amen. And He can work through our lives. The only thing that I can see from Scripture, the only source of hope that we have to run effective Christian race for you and for me, is Jesus Christ alone. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Yes, I am in Christ, but Christ is in me. And that's what makes the Christian life possible, is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ dwells within me, His Holy Spirit. And because of that, He gives me the ability to be what I ought to be. Not through my strength, not through my power, but through His strength and power. And so we must keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse number 3, this is really where I want us to focus our attention. It says three words in the beginning of verse number 3. It says, "For consider Him." And that's what I want for the next little bit tonight, for us to just simply consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much that you and I can consider tonight. We're only going to scratch the surface of just one thing about Christ, and we're going to simply talk about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in certain areas. We'll only scratch the beginning surface of it. There's so much that you and I can consider. We could consider His uniqueness.
Yes,
His uniqueness in His birth. His uniqueness as God in the flesh.
Right.
Amen. There's so many things that you and I can consider, but what I want us to consider tonight is Christ's faithfulness. And I want us to be challenged. I want us to be strengthened by the testimony of our Savior when it comes to faithfulness.
Amen.
One of the things that we need more now than ever in America is faithful Christians.
Yes,
we're losing faithfulness among God's people, and we need to stay faithful. Stay faithful in serving Him. Stay faithful in doing what we know God has clearly told us in Scripture we ought to do. And so faithfulness tonight is what we're going to look at of the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And the first thing I want you to take notice, and you can see all these things that we'll talk about tonight, you can see them in verses 2 and 3, but the first thing is the faithfulness Christ had in His love towards you and I. His faithfulness in His love. It was His love that Christ had for mankind that brought Him to this earth.
That's right.
That brought Him, that caused Him to leave the hails and the praises of the angels.
Right. Yeah.
The holiness of God, the presence of Almighty God, the perfectness of heaven. He left all that behind to come to a sin-cursed earth, to take upon Himself the form of a servant, robed in the likeness, robed in flesh, in the likeness of man. He did all of that because He loved His creation.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter number 3, we all are familiar with that, but in Genesis chapter number 3, when sin entered into the world, God's greatest creation was ripped away from Him. He lost possession, so to speak. And in God's foreknowledge, He knew, and in Revelation it tells us that from the foundation of the world, it was God's plan all along, knowing that mankind would slip away, fall into sin, that He would send a Redeemer.
Amen.
He would send a Deliverer named Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was willing to be of His Father the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and for mine, because that's how much He loved us. And I'm thankful tonight that I can stand and say I've experienced the love of Christ.
Amen.
I'm thankful that He went to that old rugged cross and hung there for my sin and for your sin and the sin of the world. But it was His love that brought Him here. It was His love that caused Him to go through the agony, the suffering. It was His love. Let me say this. It was not the nails that held Him to the cross. It was His love for you and for me. No man could take the Lord Jesus Christ's life. He willingly gave it as a ransom for many.
Amen.
That many means you and me tonight.
That's
amen.
Right.
His love is what brought Him here. His love is what took Him. Let me say, His love was manifested. It was shown. It was expressed to us by His death on the cross.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
He proved His love. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He proved it on Calvary's cross by shedding that sinless, perfect blood to take your place and to take my place so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell.
Right.
But through the Lord Jesus Christ, at the moment of our death, we're absent from the body but present with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that if I got in my car tonight and we've got about a 2-hour drive home and we got in a bad accident and I perished, I died, I would be present with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore.
Amen.
Because of His love and what He did for me on the cross. Let me say this before I go any further. Not only was He faithful in His love when He went to the cross and all that He did to go to the cross for you and for me, but He's still faithful in His love today. He's still faithful in His love today because He still calls out to the sinner to repent of their sin and trust Him, and He will save them from their sin. He's still faithful today. Let me say this for the believer. If you're here tonight and you're born again and you're a child of God and you know the time and place, maybe not the time and place, whatever the case, you know though beyond a shadow of doubt that you're saved, you're born again, you're still experiencing the love of God right now. I've experienced the love of God many, many times throughout my Christian life. He's still faithful in His love for you and for me today. And I'm thankful that we continue to experience the love of Christ. Now notice with me also, not only was He faithful in His love, but He was faithful in His commitment. He was faithful in His commitment. He was faithful in what He committed Himself to do to fulfill His Father's plan. His Father, His desire was that He would come to this earth and go through all that He did to provide redemption for you and I.
Right.
To fulfill His Father's will, His Father's plan. And He committed Himself all the way to fulfill that. Amen.
Amen.
In Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He was committed to that end. He was committed to make sure that you and I could have hope of heaven. Amen. Amen. He was committed all the way. Even as a young child in Scripture, we see in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 49, as a 12-year-old boy, it says, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Even as a 12-year-old boy, he was consumed. He was committed to his Father's business.
Right.
Oh, that we would be committed to the Father's business tonight. Amen. We need to have that same level of commitment as he did. But he knew why he was here. He knew the purpose for it all. And he was committed to fulfill that purpose.
Right.
Now notice with me also, we're going to quickly go through these things because there's somewhere I'm trying to get to in the message. But let's not only see His faithfulness and His love, His faithfulness and His commitment, but He was faithful in His responsibility. He was faithful in carrying out His duties. Amen. Not only was He committed, not only was He dedicated to His Father's plan, but He faithfully executed it.
Right.
He faithfully carried it out. He went all the way. Amen. Look there in verse number 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know what that verse tells me? He finished what He was set out to do.
Right.
He finished, He fulfilled His Father's plan. He was committed. Every day that Jesus Christ walked this earth was for a purpose. Every step was to bring Him to an ultimate end of the cross. Everything He did, He took serious because He knew that He had to go to the cross for you and for me.
Amen.
He had to. His responsibilities were serious unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Him finishing His work was important. John chapter number 4, and I think it's verse number 33. We got the account of the woman at the well. And Jesus says unto His disciples, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work."
Amen.
I find it interesting. He says, "My meat." You know what that means? The very thing that sustains me.
Yeah.
On a spiritual level, the very thing that sustains me most, the most important thing to Lord Jesus Christ was to go to Calvary's cross for your sin and for mine to finish His Father's work. Amen. To finish His Father's plan. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I believe it is. He says, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, every step that He took was to go to an old rugged cross,
right,
to die to take your place on that cross, to take your sin and my sin upon Him so that one day we could trust Him, we could put our faith and trust in Him and escape the ultimate punishment. Amen. The lake of fire, hell as we call it. Now let's see also, not only was He faithful in His duties, but He was also faithful in the difficult times.
Oh, yeah.
He was faithful in the tough times. The life of Jesus Christ was not an easy life.
No, sir.
His ministry, His walk on this earth was not an easy existence.
Right.
It was not an easy ministry. He was always met with opposition. You know it just as well as I do in the New Testament. How many times the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the different religious groups, sought to kill and sought to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. They called it blasphemy when He proclaimed Himself as the Son of God and took up stones to stone Him, but He slipped out of their midst. They sought to kill Him. They sought to do harm unto Lord Jesus Christ. It was not an easy existence. The God of heaven robed in flesh like you and I. It was not an easy existence. He experienced heartache. He experienced exhaustion. He experienced ridicule, mockery, humiliation. He experienced temptation. He went through everything that you and I have gone through. But let me say this. He went through it even more than you and I have ever gone through it. His life was not easy. It was a difficult one to live. But He was faithful in the difficult times. You say, what does that matter? Because at any moment in His earthly life here, His earthly ministry, He could have quit and gave up on mankind.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He could have said, you know what, it's not worth it.
Right.
It's not worth it. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to go on back to my Father and I'm just going to give up on mankind.
Yeah.
But because He loved us.
Amen.
Because of His grace and mercy.
Right.
He went on through the difficult times. He was faithful in the difficult times. His fulfilling His purpose did not depend on the circumstances, whether they were good or bad. They would not deter Him. They would not change what He was sent for. And even though it was difficult, just think about the crucifixion. All that Jesus Christ went through the crucifixion. He endured the difficult times and continued to persevere until the end. Amen. Amen. Then the last thing I want us to see about the faithfulness of Christ is that He was faithful in His death. He was faithful in His death. Not only did Christ come and proclaim Himself as the Son of God, but He foretold, He prophesied that He would die and He would be buried, and 3 days later He would rise again. Amen. Being our hope of eternal life. Amen. That's who Jesus Christ is. And if He had just been mere man, and He'd have died on that old rugged cross and been buried, He'd still be buried today.
Right.
But He was faithful in His death to provide you and I with salvation, because up from the grave He arose.
Amen.
We love singing that song, don't we? Easter's coming around, amen. And I guarantee at my home church we're going to be singing, "Up from the grave He arose,"
amen.
Had He not risen, you and I would have no hope.
Right.
Had He not risen from the grave, we would have no reason to meet here tonight and have nothing to rejoice in. But thank God He was who He said He was. And He fulfilled exactly what He said He would fulfill. And 3 days later, up from the grave He arose, providing you and I with salvation. He was faithful in His death.
Amen.
Aren't you glad tonight, if you're saved, that He was faithful in His death?
Yes.
That He provided salvation for you and for me? Think about where you and I would be tonight outside of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's not a pretty picture, is it?
No.
I know where I would be. I'd be out doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Right.
Living a life that I shouldn't be living.
Right.
Being in misery and woe. I would be in misery tonight.
Right.
But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit came by my way one day and somebody took this Bible and began to preach and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ, I responded. I put my faith in Lord Jesus Christ. I repented of my sin and put my faith, my hope, all my expectancy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was born again.
Yes, sir.
Into the family of God.
Yes, sir.
Because Christ was faithful.
Yes,
only because He was faithful. Amen. Now, what is all this about tonight? Why have we gone through this? Why have we talked about the faithfulness of Christ? Because we need to be challenged by His testimony.
That's right.
When we think about His faithfulness, it ought to challenge us to begin to think, what about my faithfulness to Him?
Right.
What about my faithfulness? What about our faithfulness to Lord Jesus Christ? The thing about it is, Jesus Christ was faithful in His love. Let me ask you tonight, are we faithful in our love to Him?
Right.
We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We're not perfect people. I understand that. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, there ought to be something inside of you. There ought to be a love. And the only reason why you and I love Him, because He first loved us.
Right.
And He proved His love to us. You know what? We need to be faithful in our love, but we need to allow our love for Christ to be manifested. It ought to be shown, expressed in the things that we do.
Right.
We ought to prove our love back unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
As He proved His love for us, we need to prove our love to Him. John chapter number 14, verse number 15 says, "If ye love me,
yep,
keep my commandments."
Amen.
You know what Christ is saying? Live an obedient life, and therefore you will prove to me that you love me.
That's right.
He's not interested in lip service from us tonight. It's one thing to come to a church like this, in a setting like this, and say, "Boy, I love Jesus Christ," but tomorrow at work, it's a different story.
Right.
We have got to be faithful in our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why anybody could devote their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why they would love Him so much to come to an old-fashioned altar and give their heart and their life in full surrender to Him? Because they recognize the love that God had given and shown to them, the grace and mercy that God extended to them.
Right.
And it caused in them an overwhelming desire and love and affection towards Him to say, "I want to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ."
Sure.
Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 expresses that by the mercies of God, you and I are convinced to give our hearts and our lives to Him.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1, it's our reasonable service.
Right.
You know what I... This is how I explained that. It's the least and it's the most that you and I can do for what God has done for us is to give our hearts and our lives in service to Him.
Amen.
On a day-to-day basis. If we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then we'll show it by what we do.
Right.
We'll prove it by our actions. We'll prove it by getting involved in church. We'll prove it by being in church when the doors are open. On Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, unless something just hinders your work, whatever the case is, we ought to be in the house of God when the doors are open. That's one way we prove our love to Him, by keeping His commandments. Amen. By getting involved in Sunday school classes, getting involved in bus routes, getting involved in knocking doors. There's so many different ways for you and I tonight to prove our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth about the churches of Macedonia, and he says, prove the sincerity of your love. He's talking about giving to missions there, and we're not going necessarily with that tonight. But he's saying that even by your giving, you are proving the sincerity of your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many different things, and I'm convinced in America we've got a lot of lip service, a lot of people saying, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I love Jesus. In our area, and I don't know about here, but in our area here a few years ago, there were signs everywhere, that there were little blue signs that people stuck in their yard that said, I love Jesus. I've wondered many times and thought about this. On a Sunday morning during service hours, just driving up to that house, knocking on the door and see if they were in church.
Yes, sir.
It's one thing to say with our lips, I love Jesus, but do we really love Him?
Right.
If we really love Him, then we'll keep His commandments.
Right.
We'll prove the sincerity of our love by doing what He's asked of us to do.
Yes,
we need to be faithful in our love. Let me say this, we need to be faithful in our commitment. Maybe you're here tonight and you've committed your life, your family to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've committed yourself here in this church in a specific ministry. We need to be faithful to that commitment.
Amen.
Our family has committed to leave America and go to Romania and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have got to be faithful to that commitment.
Right.
You say, why is that so important? Because there are souls in Romania who need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. They need somebody to bring the truth to them. And we have got to be faithful in our commitment.
Amen.
We've got to be totally dedicated, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly committed, wholeheartedly dedicated to what God and what we have committed ourselves to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful. He was faithful in His commitment. You and I need to be faithful in our commitment unto Him. We need to be faithful in our responsibilities.
Yes, sir.
Carrying out what Christ would have for us. Whatever the case is tonight, and there's so many things that we could list tonight, and for sake of time we won't. There are so many things that you and I could and should be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And when you and I commit to do something for Him, we need to be faithful to carry it out. See it until the end.
Amen.
Amen. You need to continue to do what you're doing here in the church.
Amen.
Just faithfully doing, executing week after week, day to day, whatever your responsibilities are, here and at home, we ought to be faithful in carrying out our duties, our responsibilities. Now notice this one right here specifically. We need to be faithful in the difficult times. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, for you and for me tonight. Being faithful to Christ in the difficult times. Let me just ask you real quick, how many has ever suffered anything unpleasant, uncomfortable in this Christian journey? How many has ever gone through a trial? How many has ever gone through some persecution? How many has ever gone through something that you didn't think that you could make it through? A storm of life, whatever the case is. We've all gone through difficult times, tough times in our lives. I know in our lives, in our marriage, in our family, we've seen difficult days. That's when our faith is tested. That's when really we're going to see what we're made of. And if we truly love Christ, and we're truly faithful to Him, no matter what storm of life, no matter what happens, we're going to keep our eyes focused on Him.
Amen.
And we're going to persevere through the storm. We're going to make it through that trial. We're going to make it through the persecution. Christ never promised us that it was going to be easy to be a Christian. In fact, He promised us trials. He promised us persecution. He promised us sufferings. Let me say, we've never suffered anything like the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in chapter number 12 in Hebrews. And in verse number 3 and 4, for consider Him that endured such contradictions of sin, or contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know what that just simply means? You and I have not faced anything like the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, exactly.
We've not gone through anything like He has gone through. But you and I, when difficulty comes, when opposition comes, we need to be faithful.
Amen.
We need to be faithful. In Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is, after the children of Israel have wandered, right before they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, God brings them up to the promised land the first time. On the outskirts, He sends the 12 spies and they come back. 2 gave a good report and 10 gave an evil report and discouraged the hearts of God's people. But the report revealed the blessings of the land. It reported that God had great things in store for them, but it reported the opposition that they would face.
Yes,
and the opposition got the better of them. The opposition got them discouraged. Folks, we're going to go through times of opposition.
Right.
There's going to be times when our adversary brings adversity to our lives, to our families, and to this church.
Yeah.
And if we're going to make it through the difficult times, when we're going to make it through the difficult opposition, we've got to keep our eyes focused on Christ.
Amen.
And we've got to be determined in our hearts, settled in our mind, that no matter what happens, no matter what the devil may throw at us, no matter what curve that he may bring or curveball, whatever the case is, into our lives, in our path, it's not going to detour us from doing what God's called of us to do.
Amen.
We're not going to quit on God, so to speak. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We're just going to continue to be faithful to Him, doing what we know He wants us to do.
Amen.
We need to be faithful in the difficult times. But with me lastly, we need to be faithful. He was faithful in His death, but we need to be faithful until death.
Yes, sir.
We need to be faithful until death.
Amen.
I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and
yes,
faithful
sir.
Servant."
Amen.
Everything. Let me say, we're going to go through things that are difficult. We're going to go through hardships. We're going to go through unpleasant times and experience unpleasant things in this world. But when we stand in His presence one day and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we won't even remember all the difficulties.
That's right. Amen.
We won't even remember the hardships,
Amen.
The trials, the persecution. We won't remember any of those things. We'll just be basking in the glory of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to be faithful until death. Amen. I want it to be said that if I live out my life and the Lord Jesus Christ does not come and I live out the full extent of my life, when they lay me in the grave, I want it to be my testimony that I gave my all to Christ.
Yes.
That I finished my course. I finished my race and I did it well.
Amen.
That's what I wanted to do. There was a guy in our home church a few years ago. His name's Keith Deal. He became basically like a grandpa figure in my life. My grandpa passed away when I was somewhere around 12, 13 years old. Loved my grandpa. Was a great man of God. But in my older teenage years, I didn't have that grandpa. I didn't have a grandpa figure. And I began to work for a guy in our home church. He was in his late 60s at the time. And we just had a kindred spirit. He just became like a grandpa to me. Well, he passed away, but when he passed away, it was his testimony that he finished well.
Amen.
That he was faithful until death. In his early 70s, folks, he would get on a bus every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and go pick up kids and work with kids.
Amen.
I have seen those little kids crawl all over him, sitting on his lap. He just loved those kids.
Amen.
Every Saturday when it came to men's prayer meeting, he was there. Many, many times I got to kneel right next to him and pray. Very wonderful experience. But when he finished his course, he finished it well.
Amen.
That's the testimony I want.
Yes, sir.
That's the testimony that I believe you want tonight.
Yes,
and you and I, we need to be faithful until death. Tonight, we just need to simply consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this in that verse, in verse number 3, it says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." When you get to the place in this life where you feel like you can't take another step, you can't go another mile, you can't make it through whatever you're going through, just consider the Lord Jesus Christ before you faint in your minds. When things get difficult, when things get unpleasant, they get uncomfortable, just always remember Jesus Christ. And allow His testimony of His faithfulness to challenge our testimony of our faithfulness to Him. Dear God, we come before You tonight. We're so thankful that You've given us this opportunity. I don't take it lightly tonight that You've given me this opportunity to preach Your Word. I pray, God, that something was said to be a challenge. Something was said to be an encouragement in our faithfulness unto You. I know everybody here tonight would probably say, just like I would say, if we're going to be honest with each other and honest before You, our faithfulness unto You is not all that it ought to be. I pray, God, tonight that You'd challenge us, that You would help us to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives, to show us, maybe to reveal to us, maybe areas in our life where we're lacking in faithfulness. And I pray, God, that we would have a greater resolve tonight when we leave this place to be faithful in those very areas of our life, in our Christian race, our Christian journey. I pray, God, that You'd have Your will and way done in our hearts and our lives, and we'll not fail to give You the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' lovely name, we ask it all. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would stand with me for a moment of invitation, I'm going to ask the pastor to come and take over. But I just want to quickly tonight just make one final plea. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not experienced the faithfulness of Christ in salvation, let me say tonight, you can experience it. You can come and somebody can take the Bible and show you how you can experience the faithfulness of Jesus Christ tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, you already know you've been saved. You can go to that time, that place, whatever the case is. You know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are born again. You are a child of God.
Amen.
But God has worked in your heart tonight about maybe some areas that we need to be faithful in. Let me make one final plea to you tonight. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His will and way in your heart and in your life. And let me say this, you'll never regret it.
Amen.
The greatest regrets that I have in my life are the times that I grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit and did not allow God to have His will and way in my heart and my life. But I have never yet lived to regret the moments that I gave my all to Christ,
amen,
where I gave it over to Him and allowed Him to have His will and way in my life. If God's dealing in your heart tonight, take this opportunity to do whatever He leads you to do as Pastor comes.